Okay, so we're talking about the scary dinim that a person's neshama experiences after Misa. We're accustomed to thinking, I mean, we're not accustomed to talking about this altogether like we discussed yesterday. We don't talk about these things. But if we were to talk about them, we would talk about Gehenna. According to the Goyim, Gehenna is the least of our worries. There's six dinim that a person goes through even before getting to Gehenna. The first one, he says, is Bishas, the Misa itself, and there's an encounter with three Malachim, one of which is the Malach who taught him Torah, B'me'i'imoy, and he comes to check on his progress. The second one is on the way to the Kever, and we discussed that's why it's important to bury the person quickly. The third one is the Chibut HaKever, is that a person who gives too much to their guf, the guf will want more, even in the kever. There's the din of the toilas, the shishis, the kafakela, and then again. Okay. Now, he says, shleisha dinim, oivrim ala odom at shiovu l'gan eden, and he's passed through these levels in order to get to Gan Eden. V'hu yoyim adin v'gehenem v'imas mavis. After that, he will be able to go to Gan Eden. Okay? Again, he says it again in another language, another form. He says like this. When a person travels, when a person's on a trip, there are three distinct locations. There's the origin of where he's traveling from. V'amakayim sh'nasea l'sham, the destination. Shu tachli, so that's the ultimate goal, is to get there. Why are you traveling? Not traveling because you want to leave where you are necessarily. Most likely you're traveling because you want to get to where you're going. U'makayim derech hanasea. And the third location is where you are during the trip itself. V'chein hu ba'adam. And that's true by an adam as well. Ha'olam hazeh shenasa mimenu. This ha'olam hazeh that he's nasa mimenu, that he's traveling from. So he's talking about his trip back. Right now, the Goyin is discussing the trip back home. The neshamas take a trip back home. So the origin is an ha'olam hazeh. Umokum tachliso yu Gan Eden. The destination is Gan Eden. So we're very clear on where we're going, where we're leaving from, where we're going to. What we're not so clear about is the way. What does the 95 look like between Olam Hazeh and Gan Eden? V'derech al yischoso she'i efshar lovu l'gan Eden. It's impossible to get admission, be allowed into Gan Eden. Af achar she'ikne ha'shlemus, even after full shlemus, at she'ispashit min ha'guf miris, until he's mispashit min haguf niyos. So only after his pashtus of the guf is it possible to go to Gan Eden. So in other words, let's clarify. The neshama is put inside the guf, and the avoida of a person throughout their life is how much are they going to elevate the neshama over the guf? Which, by the way, according to Rav Dessler and others, that's the mida which describes, which I'm going to say is going to sound like a surprise. But the more you think about it, the more it's very deep, is that the mida which describes the most where a person is, and what's a person more in touch with? Are they in touch with their neshama or their guf? That mida is atzlus or zrizus. Atzlus is when a person is dragged down by their guf. Atzlus is when the guf dictates what should be done. So the person cannot focus their neshama that this is my goal. I get distracted with a lot of things and my guf is pulling me different ways. I cannot go and focus all my kuchas to do the right thing. That's what atzlus is. Zrizus means a person is able to focus their strength, focus their kuchas, and do everything in a way that will not allow anything to get in its way. Amongst the things that he will not allow to get in its way is his guf itself. In other words, the guf itself will not get in the way of the neshama, because the person's already gotten in the habit of elevating the neshama over the guf. That is the his taichin. But regardless, the point ultimately is that the struggle in this world is guf over neshama. If a person lives that way their whole life and their guf is really secondary and they're thinking about what the neshama needs, then misa is very not scary at all. The neshama is finally freed of the chains of the guf. The neshama no longer needs the things that the needy guf requires. It doesn't require that type of, you know, care. You don't have to feed it certain things, whatever. So it's freed from the chains of the guf, and then the neshama is elevated. The guf, because the guf was there as a shliach of the neshama, the guf is in peace. The guf is shalim. And there won't be chibur akever, because chibur akever is only when the guf is still like looking to get more and more. If the guf understands it was never here to get more to begin with, the guf is fine where it is. The neshama is fine where it is. Each one did its tachlis in this world, and it's fine. The problem is when the guf becomes too entwined with the neshama. The neshama never lived on its own. The neshama was there to feed the guf. Now you want to take the neshama out of the guf. The guf doesn't let that happen so fast, and the neshama doesn't let it happen so fast. We're partners over here. The neshama is here for the guf. Why are you taking away the neshama? So that's a misa is much harder. And the guf misses the neshama a lot more. Because now there's no neshama, no one's feeding the guf. So now the misa is a lot scarier. And the misa is a lot more painful. Okay? So he says, she'ef shalom le'gan eden. You know what type of neshamas are allowed into Gan Eden? Are neshamas that are cleansed from guf. Those are the neshamot that are allowed into Gan Eden. So when the neshama is very intertwined with the guf and has to be pulled away, so it has to go through a cleansing process in order for it to go back to what it, you know, its clean state. And that's the cleansing process of all of these demons that we're discussing. Okay? So this is how the way the Vilna Gaon looks at it. It's a fascinating thing when you think about what this does. It makes our existence so different, right? It puts a perspective on the way we live our life. A guy asked me the other day, trying to think the exact wording of the question. Look, I don't know the exact wording of the question, but more or less the question was, why is it so important to believe in Tchias HaMeisa? Now, the question is an interesting question because the Chassam Sofer asks this question. Look, you know, I understand why it's important to keep Shabbos. I get why you have to learn Torah. I understand you can't avoid the Zohar. I understand you have to keep kashrus. Okay, fine. I have to understand that Hashem gave us the Torah. And I have to understand that Hashem created the world. Okay. I have to understand that why there's Olam Hazeh. Good. I get that also. There's Olam Haba. Fine. Why does it matter if there's Tchias HaMeisa or not? To the point that the Rambam says, if a person doesn't believe in Tchias HaMeisa, they're like a guy. Pusha. The person doesn't believe in Tchias HaMeisa, they're quite a baker. They're not because they have no chelik in Olam Haba, and they're like a guy, basically. I mean, seriously, why is it so important? Why is it so fundamental? Who cares, really? Why does it change anything about, I could be an Erel Chayit, I could do all my mitzvahs, I could do everything I need to do, I'll even go to Olam Haba. Fine. Why does it do it with Tchias HaMeisa? Why is that so important? And the answer is because if a person has to understand that death is not a permanent ending to anything. it's not the end, it's really the beginning. The neshama goes on, and this concept is telling me there's an eternity over here. And eventually, everything's eternal. Everything that Hashem made is forever. And you have to know that the human being is forever, maybe not in the state that we live in, but there's an eternity to this. And if we have to go and separate the neshama temporarily to clean it before it can come back into the guf, okay. But there's an eternal existence that's out there. And a person thinks they live only in a temporary world. It's not about, do I believe in Tchias HaMeisim? I think of Pinchas says, it's not about, do I believe in Tchias HaMeisim? It's about how my belief in Tchias HaMeisim affects how I live my life today. Because if I know this is Tchias HaMeisim, I become an eternal person. I'm an eternal being, and I want my being to be as clean, as kadosh, and as pure as possible. And it's not, it puts, right? So that's why cremation is so terrible. Right? Because what that does, and what that's saying is basically, I live for the here and now. And if I can't enjoy this world, I'm done. Done. Burn the body. The whole purpose of the body is to enjoy the world. Enjoy all the tithes you can get. And if you can't get any more tithes, then burn the body. What's the point? Right? And what do we say? No, the body's kadosh. The body's there to serve the neshama. Put it away. Put the neshama away for a few minutes, you know, for a few years or whatever. But eventually we're going to need that kli of the guf to come back and hold the neshama again so that we can, you know, continue doing the avodah properly. Right? So you understand that Tchias HaMeisim is not just an emuna in what will be. It's an emuna in how you live your life today also. It's a very different existence. I remember I was one time with the Rishiva of Chaim Berlin, Rav Aaron Schechter, Shlita. So he's about 95 years old right now. He's from Adol Adar. So I think 2 years ago, right before COVID, maybe 3 years ago, I don't remember, 2-3 years ago, I was at his house for Shal Shittis. And a guy walks into the house and he sits down. So he starts asking the guy, what do you do for a living? So it turns out this guy teaches, he gives classes and in nursing homes. Okay. So what's one of the things that you do? You give classes. I also talk to them and to their families about cremation. Meaning that many of these people have already marked on their, you know, their wishes for that is that they want to be cremated. And I have to convince the families that they shouldn't cremate. So the Rishiva could not understand what the guy was talking about. So I say that I don't understand. Cremate. Yeah, okay, but only goyim do that. So he said, no, so you're talking to goyim? No, these are yidden. Yeah, but yidden don't do that. So he told him, no, but the child says that they want the parent to sign this because it's cheaper. It's a lot cheaper. So then the Rishiva understood it, and right there, he started crying for like 3-4 minutes. A yid would do that? A child would do that to the parent, first of all? But a yid would do that? He's taking away the whole essence of a yid. The whole essence of a yid is Tchias HaMeisim. If a person's cremated, there's no Tchias HaMeisim. Chas v'shalom. Right? So again, Tchias HaMeisim is not just like another belief we have. Right? Okay, it's, put it on the list. It's not just on the list. If a person doesn't believe that, then they're not living. They're not dying as a yid. They're not living as a yid. They don't understand the eternity of life. They think that the whole purpose of the guf is, like I said before, everything's just temporary. They're just chaperah and whatever. No, it's not like that. So, part of learning through these inyanim that the goyin is talking here is to give us that appreciation. I'm not saying we understand most of what he's saying over here, but it's not talking about death. is only valuable because it helps us understand more about life, right? So, hopefully it will shed light on some more inyanim. Okay, Rabbi Sai.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Well, good night.
Thank you. Have a good night. Have a good night.